Welcome to the Work Dynamics Podcast, your source for information related to modern business workflows. I am your host, Scott Williams, along with my co-host, Grant Bafulci. Today's topic, living in a Microsoft world. Grant, are you ready to tackle this topic? Because who's Microsoft? What do they do?
Yeah, I think they're new on the block.
Right? It's like no one's ever used Microsoft before. Let me set the stage for today's podcast, because I think this is an interesting topic for sure, because I think it's the way that people embrace Microsoft. They think about Microsoft. And I also think it's a way of how they also think of Work Dynamics, or AKA CCM Enterprise. If you are one of Work Dynamics' government clients, that is the alternate name, I will say, in the universe that we live in, depending on if you're a private or public sector, all the same thing, all the great same feature functionality. And today, this is, you know, I don't want to call this self-serving, but I guess it somewhat is, but it's also serving our customer base and obviously our potential customer base, in the sense that if you are not aware of all of the things that Work Dynamics / CCM Enterprise version 5 can do when living in a Microsoft world. So here's what I'm going to preface first, Grant, and I have some questions for you, because obviously you're the one that I always go to in these podcasts that obviously has the most amount of insight into our customers, our potential customers, and both the government and enterprise world. When it pertains to Microsoft, and look, I mean, all jokes aside, Microsoft has ruled the business world for decades and decades now. That is no surprise. Mm-hmm. I think with the advent of, you know, Office 365 in general, the, call it, explosion of SharePoint, going on probably almost a decade now, where we really saw an uptick in both government and corporate across North America, and the subsequent prices that went along with embracing SharePoint. Look, Microsoft is the backbone that what most organizations run on. I guess my question to you is, first and foremost, is that what are the, I'll call it what is the outlook of Microsoft now in the corporate world and government world as it pertains to the all the things that can happen with Microsoft, like all the wonderful things that I think people think Microsoft does, what it does do, perhaps what it doesn't do so well at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, Scott, what Microsoft done, you know, over the years, and I'm talking going way back to inception, was that they individualized product functionality by apps, right? Mm-hmm. So if you were an accountant and you needed to work in a spreadsheet of some sort, well, then you have Excel. If you're a person that writes documents, then you're using Word and all of the different applications. I think what Microsoft's outlook is trying to combine those skill sets, because where it used to be, as I said, an accountant would use a spreadsheet, and a guy who's writing documents is not using a spreadsheet. Now everybody uses all of those types of products at different points, whether it be something like Visio, whether it be PowerPoint, whether it be Excel spreadsheets. Almost every business person now is using a multitude of Microsoft apps. So having them compartmentalized doesn't make a lot of sense. How do I transfer information between them? How do I work with them? How do I copy pieces and parts to other things? Do I have to format differently? All of those aspects, I think Microsoft is doing a really good job at putting those together, so that the average business person who has a pulse on all of those different applications is working more conveniently with those applications. It's almost becoming one product, right? Different functionalities, one product. And I think that's the rationale between Office 365 and the suite of products that are embedded in it, so that if I'm working in an Excel spreadsheet, or I'm working in a Word document, or I'm emailing somebody and I want to be able to share and collaborate on Excel spreadsheets or documentation, whatever it may be, everybody has the tools. Everybody has the suite. Everybody has access to it, and we can collaborate very conveniently.
Well, and to that point, you know, and for the listeners, this one, do you ever notice we age ourselves almost yeah. every podcast. It's like, oh my God, like just, you know, I remember back in the day. But, you know, for those of that, you know, potentially are say like even I'll say under the age of 35, you know, just as an educational point, like back in the day, it's like there wasn't a lot of, I will call it connectivity, interoperability between Microsoft products, as you said. I mean, a lot of the apps, like, yeah, of course, you can copy and paste and match style and stuff, whatever, to, you know, from program to program. But it was very siloed into the application itself. Like you could buy a license for Microsoft Word. You could buy, you know, PowerPoint. You could buy. But it wasn't looked at this in the same way. And I think it wasn't until the advent of the 365 ecosystem that it really started to solidify as a truly interoperable system. I think also to your point, Grant, is that there's also, and look, I mean, genius upon Microsoft's, you know, product and sales and marketing teams, where it's the, everything is kind of included depending on what your licensing agreements are. So, you know, SharePoint, Power BI, whatever it may be, is also all included. And that brings me to, I guess, my next point in this is that, you know, we've had some fairly in-depth conversations, you know, in the past couple of years over things like SharePoint. Now, SharePoint's a wonderful platform, but I think a lot of the times what tends to happen with SharePoint, and let's pick on SharePoint a little bit first, but also bring in the concept of what the Work Dynamics platforms can do in this particular case, is that I would say SharePoint in particular falls into a category of what you and I have always discussed as the customization versus configuration scenario. And SharePoint, for the most part, I think when it comes to workflows, when it comes to the every company is a beautiful and unique snowflake that needs some very, very specific feature functionality within SharePoint, the cost to customize SharePoint is still to this day something that can be somewhat overwhelming for a lot of companies. And I think that cost is obviously broken into the usual, you kind of usual suspects, we will call it, which is there's the hard cost of how big of a check do I have to write for this? But there's also a time and people calculation that has to be made as well, is that, you know, by the time you get all of these different departments involved in customizing everything. And, you know, so let's talk about that for a moment as well, just because I want to make sure that as we get into this podcast, people kind of understand, let's define customization versus configuration, the customization side of SharePoint, and then the far, I would say more appropriate, more the faster, better, cheaper way of doing it through Work Dynamics and making things like SharePoint even better than that it is out of the box because of the layer that we place within that. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the customization versus configuration first, because I think that's an important, you know, topic to discuss to set the stage for all our listeners today, which is, you know, really what's the difference between customization and configuration?
Yeah. Okay, I want to add one point that I was thinking about as you responded to my first bit of theory, and it revolves around Microsoft and the concept. And I remember reading a book by Bill Gates way back, way back. I mean, he was still talking about Palm Pilots and those types of things in this book. I don't remember the year it was, but
were you listening to it on your Zoom?
Yeah, I actually, I think it was on CD, and I was listening to it in my vehicle. But yeah, it was way back when. The one thing that he talked about, he impressed upon the listener in this, was that applications are created for ease of use, but more fundamental to the application, or more fundamental to the business, is the data that's captured. And it was all, his focus was all about data. So while the user, myself, yourself, whoever else was using product applications, it's all in capturing the data associated with, so that we can do all the analysis work and all of those types of things. And I think Microsoft's doing a really good job of that, is making sure that the data is available in ways that can be presented. And there's the, you know, the business intelligence tools and the analytics and all those types of things. Fundamentally, at the end of the day, that's what we want, right? So when we talk about the Microsoft applications, they're doing a really good job of making sure that they're interoperable, that SharePoint connects with your email, that SharePoint connects with Power BI, that different applications have access to each other. They read the same formatting languages and data and so on and so forth. The issue then comes, how do I make them practically business functional? So it's one thing to say, we have access to all the data, we have access to this, we can work with platforms, other products, and so on and so forth. But where is the processing part? Okay, and that comes into the customization and configuration. So as I've always suggested, customization is a difficult process to follow. It's a tough line to go down. Mm-hmm. And the reason is there's the hard costs of the applications, fair enough. There's the hard costs of having resources and people working on developing those applications. There's certainly time and effort associated with the subject matter expert who knows the business process versus subject matter expert who knows how to create something in the application. And quite frankly, those two have never been able to do a really good job of communicating with each other. So, you know, this is what I want in an application. That guy goes and builds it, delivers it, and they say, well, that's not exactly what I want. Can you go back and tune it a bit? And they tune it, and oftentimes it ends up worse than the first time. And now you end up with a whole bunch of quasi configuration that really misses the mark, and then we scrap it and we start over again. And that's just an ongoing part of the process, right? It's a trial by fire way to learn through things.
And to your point of that as well, is that when you, like, the way that I've always looked at customization is versus configuration is customization terrifies me.
Yeah.
And here's why, is that something that is customized means that you now have a company that resides inside a company. Right, so like, right. Say for instance, like, we'll throw it under the umbrella of application development. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. So you have an application development company inside your company.
Right.
Right? Because who else is going to maintain this custom thing that the outside world has never seen? Right. Mm-hmm. And even if it's like customized inside something like SharePoint or whatever it may be, it's still custom. And custom means one-off. And one-off means highly unique in the sense of within these four walls, there is several people that know how to maintain this and know how to make it work. And God forbid any of them should quit tomorrow or retire or you know, get fired, whatever it may be. Yeah. Attrition kicks in and suddenly you are left. And I've seen this 100 times in my career. And it's that, well, what do we do now?
Yeah.
The person that was responsible, or people, say it was 2, 3, even 10 people that were responsible for maintaining this, may have even been somewhat siloed inside their group. They don't know what the other person really did because it was some, well, they were just really good at tweaking something that, you know, they duct taped stuff together and made stuff work. And I don't mean to diminish like the level of hard work and everything that goes into a customized product. But like I said, now you're a product shop inside whatever other organization you are. So whether that's the government, whether that's an enterprise environment, you have a group of people that if they leave, what do you do? As opposed to configuration, which means, I took something that is widely known across the world that has all the feature functionality that I need, and I took all of that feature functionality that is, you know, pre-built, predetermined, no, pre-tested, works great, and I configured it in a way that I chose what I want and how I want it and the color I want and whatever it may be, and here's the font that I want and my logo's up in the top left-hand corner, whatever it may be, and suddenly you're like, okay. So now the 10 people that configured it as far as admins inside the company all leave tomorrow to, you know, because they all got job offers somewhere else and they all left and a couple retired, and you bring in 10 new people and they go, yeah, you want us to maintain the configuration of this product. I just log in and do it because I have a background in the product, or I can go back to, you know, the platform company and talk to them and they go, your configuration's super easy. This is how it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so, again, like going back to the SharePoint thing, I think this is where a lot of companies run into, to, you know, the frustrations around, yeah, not only the financial aspects, but the time and resources taken to customize SharePoint is painful. And then there's mission creep. And it's like you often said too, and you know, it's, I'll pass this back to you because you explained it best, but that when you get into the customization thing, it's like, it's off the rails the first day on that project. Yeah. Because it's not, it's automatically not going to go in the right direction.
So yeah, explain it, that. It's obsolete. It really is obsolete the second the ink dries, right? So listen, I heard what you said about the transition of people thing, and my experience is this: when you have a team working collectively on a product development project, they can't agree most of the time. So that's before they've left. Okay.
Yeah.
But now you have a transition in the team. And every person that comes in will, one, come in with open arms, do their best to support the application as it stands, and then within short amount of time, typically figure out or think that the way they would do it is better than the way it was done in the past. So it now becomes not just a maintenance project, but an evolutionary project based on different insights that are from a new team. And so it's ever changing. It's like setting a course to sail from one point to the other, and everybody has a different way to get there. And so you end up with this swerving path that takes twice as long with a whole bunch of curveballs in it, a lot of transitional code and redos, regroups. I found a better way to do this. I have different experiences and so on and so forth. It becomes very difficult. But let me give you a really, really oversimplified analysis, or maybe just a description of how I see this. The Microsoft pieces are, in my opinion, like building a car. You have your seats, you have the steering wheel, you have the engine, you have the radio, you have all the things that you want in your vehicle, and they're all components and they all work together. They have to. The electrical system and the propulsion system ties them together. The business processing application, like the platforms that we provide, are basically the wheels, and that gets you somewhere. You have all of these things within the car, and it's great if you want to sit in the parking lot, but you need wheels to be able to move around. And the wheels are what gives it the value of being able to support transitionals, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Now, can you imagine, let's go back to what you were talking about having your own development team in-house who's inexperienced. Could you imagine that if you bought a car and once your tires wear out, you have to figure out how to be an alchemist and put your own rubber together in your garage every time you want to drive somewhere? That's really what we're talking about here.
Ed, with four different developers, guaranteed you're going to have a 14-inch rim, a 17-inch rim, exactly. A 21-inch rim.
Exactly. Let's assume it's a family of four and they each take on one tire. You know, yeah, how good is your vehicle going to be? Right. So what we've done is we go to the experts, right? We go to Goodyear. We go to all those guys, Michelin, whoever, whatever your brand of choice is. And we say, look, we need you to provide the tire. We know that we're going to get it as a package. We have choices. We have different kinds of tires. We have different kinds of sizes. We estimate and evaluate, and we look at the right set of tires for what our application is. And we use those tools to be able to get to where we want to go. So we're using Microsoft products as a collective, but we're binding them together with the tires. And that really is what allows us to move through the organization how it's supposed to from a business process perspective. Now, you can, as I said, you can go out and try and build those yourself. And maybe you're successful, but my experience dictates that's not the case. So we get into configuration. And configuration is based on a couple of different aspects. Configuration is based on prior experience. Configuration is based on a detailed level of requirements. Configuration is based on subject matter experts who have built it before, right? Mm-hmm. So here's what we recommend, here's why. But the most important part of what we consider to be the value in configuration is that we have generally templated outlines of the window that you want to fit within, the box you're going to try and build towards. So it becomes a lot less of an expectation on the client to understand their business process in to infinity. They don't have to know every single thing, because quite frankly, if you ask a client ground zero, how do I build a cake without ever building a cake before? Mm-hmm. They're not going to start. They're not going to move forward. They're not going to get into the right direction of how they're going to build stuff, because they just don't know. It's almost afraid to take the first step kind of mentality. So if we can provide a basis for what needs to be in place, what's been successful in the past, what other organizations are doing, how to configure an application easily, we can first of all set a precedent for saying we know 60% or 70% or 80% of what your expectations are. There's fine details. Let's evaluate the fine details. But we're already at a stage where we can put an application in front of them. And we do this all the time. And clients come to us and they say, you know, we'd like an application that does this. And we go to their webpage and we gather information off the net. And because it's very easy for us to configure something, we can show up to the first meeting with an outline of what we think they're going to want. And I've had clients tell me, you know, that's exactly what we're looking for. You know, can we just use that? And I'm like, well, there's still a little bit of heavy lifting behind it. But the application is, you know, from inception, from infancy, is something that they look and they can relate to. Whereas if you're trying to build something, customize it completely, it's a long process before the end user is going to be able to look at something and go, yeah, you've got it right. And most often they don't, because the path to communication there is very difficult sometimes.
Well, when I think this is a good segue in the point of what we were discussing at the beginning of the podcast too, is that so I'll finish on the configuration side, just a couple of the points that I think I always enjoy seeing with our customers, which is the, you know, customization is tough. As you said, everybody comes to the table and they're like, they all have their ideas and it's like, okay, like we've never done this before. Or how do we do this? You know, we got to customize, just call it SharePoint and then try to work in Power BI. And okay, well now we've got, you know, how are we going to integrate the rest of Office 365 into this? And then there's all the like the crazy workflow stuff. The nice thing is with the configuration side, and look, I mean, I can only speak for the Work Dynamics and CCM Enterprise side for, you know, for our government customers in the naming conventions of our product, but it's, we've done so many projects for many government organizations across the world and enterprise organizations across the world, that it becomes this, you know, let me reach back in my bag of tricks of best practices and go, well, what you're looking for, we've only done that 100 times and in 100 different slight variations, and we can do whatever you want in that configuration side and give you exactly what you need without all the pain and headaches of the, you know, trying to get a group of developers around. And you had mentioned, you know, like the one word that you dropped a few minutes ago, which was code. And I think code unto itself in many ways should be looked at as a bit of a dirty word these days, because code implies coders. Coders implies a team of coders. A team of coders implies, again, going back to that customization thing of what happens when those coders leave or are no longer part of the project and everyone codes slightly differently. And did they have the right notations and things within their code so other people can, you know, understand it? And like, oh my God, like it just becomes terrifying. The beauty of having a no code solution, right, is that it's a platform that is completely interoperable with all of Microsoft, and it's, you know, and the 365 environment, and it's just plug and play however you want. And it's already been done before. So I think like using that as a segue, like I want to just also, you know, talk about a little bit of our version 5 and all of the kind of wonderful things that it comes with, because it's, you know, at this point we're into, you know, as at the time that this podcast is being recorded, we are in the first week of 2023, and which is hard to believe because I still think the 90s were, you know, 10 years ago, but I digress. And it's you know, I think at this time of year, a lot of people are looking for those, hey, like, you know, we're moving forward. We need, you know, like Power BI, for instance, is huge now. I mean, you know, as you said, like it's Bill Gates was talking about a decade ago when it's collecting data and understanding data and having the insights that data gives companies as far as business intelligence and making better business decisions and being able to analyze specific workflows and seeing where to make workflows better, increase productivity and efficiency and all those things. So give me, you know, Grant, I'll let you be the guy that pitches this, I guess, in a certain way, but give me an overview of the, I'll call it like, you know, the top 5 to 10 kind of best things about version 5 that we know that our customers are already enjoying and you know, our new customers coming on board will very much enjoy.
Yeah, okay, I can do that. So, there's in version 5, I mean, we're just making a lot of improvements. This application, platform has been around for a long time. And
don't say how long it'll make a CMOL. Don't say it.
Yeah, no. All right, I won't tell you that, you know, it started in the DOS days or anything like that.
See, I told you it went back to the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This application, this platform is very stable, which is, you know, one of the greatest functionalities that it actually really encapsulates is just the stability of the application. It's not an application that requires ownership, extensive ownership, onerous ownership, I guess is the right word. For a large organization, you're talking about a couple of people that can manage the application and configure the application. It's quite easy to use. There's no programming languages that you have to learn. There's nothing unique about it. You need a bit of a technical aptitude. You need to know how to connect to an IIS server and those types of things. But generally speaking, most people with a little bit of technical skill can be trained up to manage the application. So that's fundamental. You don't need specialized resources. You need a little bit of training, but that's, you know, a 2 or 3 day class with some experts and then some practice. Just play with it a little bit. You know, that's one of them. So because of that, we have kept the application similar over the course of time. And when I say similar, I'm talking about in its core functionality, right? In how you configure it, how you work with it. Now, do we make improvements to the aesthetics? Absolutely. Do we make it fresh and clean to use? Yes. Do we watch for trends, colors, you know, all of those types of things in the application and give it some life that way? Absolutely. But what we've really focused on is what I talked about, the tires being a part of the car. And so taking evolving applications, whether that be Office 365, SharePoint, Excel, et cetera, working with your email, we've really pushed the focus on trying to establish better interoperability with those types of applications. So working with SharePoint as a repository and being able to communicate with your email system through our product, it's like a binder that holds those applications together and provides an onion skin layer from a business processing perspective that offers more functionality than simply taking a document in SharePoint and emailing it to your friend and asking for collaboration and doing those types of things. Our application tracks, manages, you can configure based on roles and restrictions, does all of that processing that gives you a more secured layer. Secondary to that, we talk about security. So over the course of time, you know, there's always somebody out there that's going to find a way through security, and there's always somebody out there that's going to try and make something more secure. And so because we capture a lot of mission critical or protected information, then we also have to make sure that our application is in tune from that perspective. So a lot of effort that we put into our application going forward is to manage and hopefully defeat any security threats that may come to play. We're constantly evaluating the software against modernized threats, making sure that the software is encrypted to the levels that it needs to be, making sure that it works with the validations and supports the validations that come in the Microsoft products or other products that we integrate with, making sure that we don't break those models. And of course, everybody was quite happy to dial in the old days with, a phone line, and there'd be a squiggly noise, and you'd connect, and you'd be able to transfer a couple emails back and forth. In today's society, speed is really always a concern. And so we really heavily put a focus on performance, especially in today's society, you know, whether it be global or whether it be at the North American level, where people are expecting to be able to work from home with the same level of performance that if they were in the office. And so we need to make sure that our application is well suited to that behavior. So whether you're using dial-up, whether you're using you know, internet connectivity through the clouds, however that's done, and whatever suits your fancy, we have to make sure the performance level is there. Mm-hmm. And so we put a great emphasis on trying to make sure that the performance of our application does not impede what people are trying to do. There's no value in an application that takes longer to use the application than it does for me to do it manually. So I want to make sure that we always have a performance level there that would at least match that level, make sure that people can connect and work at the speed that they need to be able to do that. And
well, and to interject just on that point as well, the one thing that I know that we've definitely embraced at Work Dynamics, you know, let's not talk about the virus that shall not be named over the last couple of years. Yeah. But it did, like, you know, I mean, it spawned, obviously, like, the concept of work from home has now become work from anywhere. I think there's you know, whether, like, on the government side of things, there is work from anywhere still. I know that, you know, for Canada, the US especially, there are some mandates of people going back to the office and that kind of stuff. Peace. There's also people that are going to remain working from home. I think the other thing is from the enterprise side that there is obviously the, you know, maybe more so than the government, but I don't want to speak for government hiring practices because there's, you know, there's implications there as well. But it's for the enterprise. I mean, there is work from anywhere also means hire from anywhere. And right. You now have a world of you know, talent, I will say, to hire from. And I think the, you know, for Work Dynamics and being able to enable workflows from anywhere and giving the how do I put this? There's a comfort level in Work Dynamics because it connects so seamlessly into the world of Microsoft and living in that Microsoft world that, you know, you're still using all the tools from Microsoft that you're used to using. It's still, you know, it connects seamlessly with Power BI and you have all your analytics and all those kind of things. And it's like as you mentioned, email and all the Office 365 tools and those kind of things. But it does, in this day and age, the work from anywhere thing is obviously going to be important, which means security and, as you said, the you know, making sure that it's a fairly light scenario when it comes to performance, that it's not bogged down by anything.
100%.
So
yeah, it really is. We really have become it's globalization at the work from anywhere perspective, right? Mm-hmm. It's becoming a smaller and smaller world all the time. And so an application that supports that interaction, that allows for collaboration, that allows for interactive behavior that's not regionalized, mm-hmm. is an extremely important and valuable tool as we move forward into this decade and the next one, sort of thing. So
let me ask you this. If we were to sum up, and, you know, because I want to be respectful of everyone's time listening to this podcast, and we always promise, you know, not to go over on too much time. We try to keep it to about 30 minutes. Let me ask you this. Predictions for, you know, I know this is a bit cliche, and I don't mean it for predictions of, like, you know, kind of business stuff in 2023 at all. Let me ask you this, predictions wise, as far as Work Dynamics and living in the Microsoft world, and what can people expect to gain, I will say, in 2023, being able to merge, I will call it, the Microsoft world with the Work Dynamics world?
That's a good question. I mean, that's something that we continually have on our radar, right? I mean, we want to, as much as we are our own entity, and we don't necessarily follow all of the design elements that Microsoft puts in play, it is in our interest and our clients' interest to make sure that we work as seamlessly with the Microsoft products. I mean, it's such a widely used set of applications that is used by the majority of the globe. And so, you know, we want to always make sure that we're in tune and in line. Where we will evolve in 2023 is to continue. I mean, the security aspect is there. The performance aspect is there. That's something that's just in our wheelhouse. I mean, that's just something that's on our radar all the time. But I think for us right now, we will just continually work towards being that binding agent, being the glue between those applications, always working with the new releases and the new developments in the Microsoft products to make sure that we add value. I mean, it's the focus that we're trying to put together with respect to our application is how do we add a configurable value to those suites of products that will enable the clients that we have and the Microsoft clients that don't use us yet to be able to perform more effectively, more efficiently, making sure that Mr. Gates is correct in his assumption that data is the thing of the future and really everything revolves around that. I mean, you know, everybody thought Google was a wonderful search engine, but it is a wonderful search engine, but it's not a search engine. It's a data capture engine. And everything revolves around it. The success of Google has come from the fact that they are the best at capturing data, right? And that trickles down in almost every large organization and every platform that's out there. So it, for us, it's making sure that that data is used effectively and is transparent and is in the right hands at the right time for the right people. And that really is fundamentally what we look for. It's the right place at the right time. Everything good happens from being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we focus on.
And lastly, I will just add this. It's like, it's not only the, you know, there is the saving money aspect, right? I mean, it's that when you don't have to customize something to the nth degree and you can, you're up and running faster, you're up and running cheaper, you're more efficient, you're more, you know, it's all those things. So Grant, as always, thank you so much. I hope the listeners have enjoyed today's chat. Maybe, you know, we've given you a little bit of insight into the world of living in Microsoft and how Work Dynamics, especially our version 5 of the Work Dynamics /CCM Enterprise platform, can work for you. And until next time, we look forward to seeing you all on this podcast again. Grant, thanks as always.
Thank you, Scott.